a major league team in a major league city. The new crew.
This is to us. This is to Columbus. This is what this is all about. Unity, Columbus, history, the future, the new era, the new crew. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. It's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Live from Awesome Town, Ohio.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast.
Your complete source of news and information for your Awesome Town crew.
And it is the Massive Reports. Welcome to its post whatever happened to that Red Bull game edition. My name is Matt Goschert, joined as always by Alex Static, Greg Benson, Justin Bell, Morgan Hughes, and Sam Fahmy, who's back behind the console, back behind the gears, and keeping me from getting yelled at by my girlfriend because she doesn't have to record tonight. Thank you so much. The show is brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Morgan?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk about the issues. Feline AIDS is a real thing that affects thousands of cats. Back to you, Matt.
And live at Hendox right now. Join us every single Monday at 7. That's a thing that we do. And sometimes Morgan's here, and other times we're so grateful he's not. The crew drop a result to the New York Red Bulls. A lot of stuff to talk about on this one, but I just want to start with just everybody's initial opinions of the match, of the way the crew played. Alex, let's kick it off with you, man.
It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. Move on to the next one.
Greg.
We can blame the referees. We can blame the weather. We can blame a lot of factors. The fact of the matter is that the crew played their worst game in three this season, and it's a point where they have to bounce back from and try and get something, because they got a tough road trip coming up. Obviously, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, this was not the way they wanted to kick that off.
Yeah, it's fair. Justin?
I think New York was a smarter and tougher team, and that's why they won. And there were some things that are concerning to me about the way the crew played, particularly the attitude. I think the team seemed to almost be arrogant a little bit, like they expected to walk into this game and beat New York. And they got beat.
I think a lot of us expected that too, though.
Well, yeah, but we're not playing.
There's a difference between us expecting that as people who are going out and watching the game, and the team not preparing for, you know, and that's... That was kind of my thought on the majority of the game as well. It did look like they came in thinking they were getting spotted three goals, and they kind of played like that in certain aspects.
A little bit, and especially when you've got players who are, you know, you're missing a couple of stars. You have to play harder. You have to, you know, this vaunted depth that we keep talking about, and these guys came in and seemed like they were superstars a little bit, and they had that bit of an attitude, and something that I think is a little bit concerning.
Morgan, your thoughts?
You know, you can talk about the excuses Greg alluded to. He always does. we're missing three starters, but we played stupid and we played soft. And some of the things that happened, you know, Higuain's second yellow card comes immediately to mind. That was just dumb.
Yeah,
we can't play dumb and expect to, you know, I don't know if there was some press clips being read before the game or what, but we can't come in there and play soft and play stupid anywhere against any team other than Toronto or Chicago and expect to win.
That was the one thing that I thought was not interesting, actually more depressing than anything else. 10 corners for the crew in this match. 10 opportunities from corner kicks. The other thing is the crew had more shots. When you go into on target, it was 4-5 in favor of New York, but a lot of opportunity in this game, and just not a lot of capitalization.
But to me, that kind of is almost encouraging that we're making opportunities, which we weren't doing last year. We were making some, but there were a lot of games where you felt, okay, Arrieta's getting maybe one or two chances a game. stuff like that. I feel like we're playing better. I was disappointed in a couple players. I thought our wing play wasn't that great. But again, when you take things as a whole so far out of the three games, I'm encouraged still about the season.
Justin, are you encouraged?
I think we have a good team.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I was worried about was, you know, before the season, was that we were turning it into a little bit of this, you know, you have a new brand, you have a new, well, stadium sponsor, you have all these new things, and we keep hearing these things about how the, you know, the swagger thing that they keep talking about, like Columbus needs more swagger. Well, no, we don't. What we need is we need to play smarter. We need to play like Columbus. You need to be smarter and tougher, and you don't be arrogant. You don't be cocky. And you don't go around looking for fights, like unless they're there for you, unless like someone's pushing you around. I didn't think New York was pushing us around.
Yeah,
I think what they were doing was playing good soccer,
mm-hmm.
And it was an even match until we did some dumb things. I think like Emmanuel Pogatetz is a good player. Why he decides to go to ground like that? When he didn't have to.
By the way, I called that.
Yeah,
last
you did.
Week on the show.
Well done, Morgan.
Thank you, Justin.
Steve Clark is a really terrific goalkeeper, and let him play goalkeeper. Put your body. You know, if you're a center back, be smart in that situation.
Yeah.
Keep stand on your feet. Don't know where you are, because knowing the league, knowing the quality of officiating in this league, knowing that the official in this game was a guy who has screwed the crew in the past, and just because he's a bad referee, stay on your feet.
Yeah.
Our other center back, who I've praised for being quality all year and being steady, makes a terrible, terrible pass to give up the winning goal.
Mm-hmm.
Play smart. Don't. Yeah, and I think that's what Berhalter's trying to say. And then it's all Morgan was right. What Higuain did. Look, it's that kind of thing that happens with Argentine playmakers. They get a little frustrated at sometimes, and they let things get away. Maybe there's a craftiness to it, maybe not. I don't know. But you could see when Higuain, he didn't foul. Who was the player? I can't even remember the player he was running with. It was Felipe, I think.
Yeah.
He didn't foul him. He was called for a foul, and he reacted. And you could see Berhalter at that time put his hand out like saying no, but by then it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost our playmaker right after Berhalter made an offensive substitution for Chris Clouty. Offense for defense. He was going for the tie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know that situation.
That's why he's paid a lot of money.
Yes, you have to know that. And what he did was he lost the game. He lost any chance that we had to come back and tie that.
And not only that, now we have a week and a half before we play again.
Right.
And now, right after that game, which is on the road on turf, we have to fly 3,000 miles in 3 days.
And play on the road on turf again.
And play on the road on turf. But we have a week and a half basically to plan for two teams because it's such a quick turnaround, right? Now you have to plan two teams for two teams because Higuain's going to be out against Vancouver. You have to plan for that. And then you have to plan for him being back. That one decision, for him to smash the ball into the turf and then run up on the referee, that one thing has such far-reaching implications. And you know what? People get paid a lot of money to be smart, and because they're capable of being smart and making good decisions is what we expect from him. And it's not good enough when you don't do that.
And another thing, too, is that Soren Stojko was looking for that.
Yep. Yeah.
He really was. You could see in the close-up of when he showed Higuain the second yellow, he had this look of, like, I'm going to show you on his face that I've never seen from a referee in MLS. I've never seen a referee be that I'm going to, I'm just going to show you who I am.
I'm
going to
make an example out of
you. Exactly. Well said, Sam.
Run away and tell your friends what I've done to you.
Because he wasn't, I don't even think he was going to give him a yellow until Felipe came up to him and said, hey, did you see what he did? He spiked the ball.
Yeah.
And then he was like, what? Huh? And then Higuain runs up on him, shows him the yellow card, and shows him the smug red card.
Yeah.
And he's gone. You let him do that to you. Yeah, it's just, it's crazy. It's
and where's the, I mean, I can't remember right offhand how far Higuain had to run to go make, you know, that spectacle. But
it was about at least 10 or 20 yards. It was a good distance.
Was it as close as Michael Parker's was to the referee in the opposite direction? Because that's why you have captains,
right?
To know what's going on in the situation and to go, whoa, 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 our number 10 is running up on a referee.
Yeah.
Let me get in between it.
I
and
just
I'll
had visions of Michael
out.
Parker's just open field tackling Federico Higuain and then running up to the ref and having a reasonable discussion with him.
Is Parker's the kind of guy that would actually do that,
though? That's what I was
going to
ask.
No.
Define what a captain is.
Well, and the other thing is, too, is like we keep hearing that you know, there are a lot of leaders on this team. One of them is Will Trapp.
Yeah.
He's 21 years old. I mean, and he's not there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're talking about playing on turf in Vancouver. We don't know what Will Trapp's injury situation is like. He's got a strained calf. I mean, are you going to put him out there and play, even if he's available
no.
to go?
No.
Yeah. And I don't think so.
I mean, I'm not making the calls for the team.
Not when you turn around and play again on crappy turf in 3 days.
I don't put him out. I honestly almost think about not putting him out for either game because it's two very, very early games. We're getting two of our absolute crap matches as far as playing surface in our worst two matches in a row as far as just fatigue on the team.
And that's what, you know, you can say we've played 3 games. We've played 2 really good games. We've played 1 crappy game. All things considered, we're doing all right. But we are coming up on a point now where we're going to have 2 games in the span of, 4 days, and we could be coming home after that with 3 points from 5 games. Now, you can't win a championship in March, but you can sure as hell lose one.
But the thing about it is that you get these games out of the way early. I mean, at least look, the schedule, we can complain about it all we like. We can say, yeah, it's a horrible road trip or an air trip, as it's got to be. But this is what we've got. This is what MLS gave to us, and we knew this months ago.
Thanks, guys.
You know, yeah, thanks a freaking lot. But now that you've been dealt this hand, how do you play it?
We're
you
playing know? More
poorly.
What could have been more, or what could be for certain teams, especially, we're traveling more in 4 days than some EPL teams travel in their entire season.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at a London-based EPL club or a Manchester-based EPL club, we're traveling more in 4 days than some of those teams could travel in their entire season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But such is the landscape of MLS.
It is. That's, no, it is. Yeah. It's just it's something that's factored in.
Yeah. Question for the panel.
Yeah, Sam Fahmy, go ahead, please.
Would you rather have this happen now? Get progressively better.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Win 3 games,
oh God, yeah.
Absolutely.
And then have a drop and then get back better.
No, I'm happy that this one of the furthest road trips that could possibly happen in this league is happening now, and I'm happy that it's happening, you know, it's happening in April, and it's also happening when we're still kind of figuring out what this team is.
Isn't there just a way though that the old people that make the MLS schedule are capable of not playing us in Vancouver on a Wednesday and the New England on a Saturday?
Yeah. No, it's the only thing that worked because Seattle had to run
it through the computer 100 times. It's the only way they can play those teams in the same year.
I really don't know how much of a factor that's going to be, though. I think when you look at the team, when you look at our schedule, I think what we're seeing is growing pains. I mean, the system that Berhalter plays is really intensive in terms of the learning curve that you have to go through. So much of it depends on each player knowing before they're actually there where the other player is going to be on the team. So you have to – the quick passing, the one-touch football, or soccer, it's not easy to learn. It's harder to learn than some systems that some other teams play where they just kind of hoof it to their center forward and hope for the best. I think we're seeing, we had a bad game, but the two previous games were really good. I think that they can win on the road at these teams, and even if they don't, we have a good enough team and a good enough system that's been proven to work that we can bounce back from it. The season, we're 3 games in. I don't think this is...
It's good if we
the
learn.
The sky's not falling.
Look, it's good if we learn from this.
Yeah.
It's really good. This is the right time for this to happen. It's good if we learn. But again, like I said, when we got Kai Kamara, my one concern was that we were trying to become what Sporting Kansas City did 2 years ago. What Sporting Kansas City did got them a championship, but what it did was they played a style of soccer that I called it dirty. I remember Frankie Hiddick was on the podcast at the time, and I asked him if he was, do they play dirty soccer? And he said, no, they play battling soccer. No, they play dirty soccer, right? That's what they did. I'm going to disagree with Frankie, as smart as he is.
Yeah.
As you know, he knows much more about this than I do, but they play dirty soccer. Now, you see where they're at right now. They're struggling to kind of refine their identity, to find what they were. I don't think we can go through that as the Columbus Crew. I think we will turn people off. I think we will lose people, fans. I think we won't have support if we start going that down that direction. Now, we're way, way early to start talking about that.
Yeah.
But there were little things that were done in that game.
Yeah.
Little attitude, you know, the way that the team kind of carried itself out there and didn't seem... It's what we've heard in the past, Rick Gethin.
Yeah.
He used to call it the intangibles, right? He was always about the intangibles. Well, I don't know. This is one of those things, and it's... They need to learn from this loss.
I don't think anybody other than Tony Galifo maybe is shouting season over at this point.
No,
but
season over.
See, I just did that so he could be on the show for just a second. But
he did the thing. He did it.
But I agree with you that you know there are. This could be a bellwether moment for the rest of the season. It could be, you know. What is the culture playing wise of the Columbus Crew SC?
I don't know if it's a bellwether, if it says anything, but it shows that it's there.
It
shows that there's a little bit there. What happens when we get Justin Marin back? I think we'll play better soccer.
Yeah,
but you know, some of this stuff we're gonna have to learn. They're gonna have to learn from this. They really are.
They will, and I think if you look at Patrick Murphy. Patrick Murphy's article today that he just posted late this afternoon about how Michael Parkhurst took that loss. And I think this is the difference that you're going to see going, not necessarily going forward, but this is really the difference that you're going to see in this team as opposed to previous years, not including last year, is how the players react to these losses or to those underperformances and how Berhalter, I mean... From what I understood, Berhalter had words with Federico.
Good.
Yeah, that's good.
I wouldn't expect that because, like, I would expect that. I mean, because when that happened, there was a couple close-ups of Berhalter, and he was not happy.
Yeah.
I really love that. I like our coach. I think our coach is very smart.
Yeah. And
he's
gonna. I don't think he's letting a superstar be.
Right.
A superstar in the locker room. And I think,
he shouldn't, and, he, I think, and he
no,
shouldn't.
And
yeah.
I think that's really where this is important. We've seen coaches that say, okay, oh well, we lost. We played a good game, but we lost. But they're saying, no, we shouldn't have lost this game. We should have played better. They're taking responsibility.
And from a purely soccer point of view, you know, looking at the way that the team played. I don't know why we were playing up the middle so much in the early parts of the game. I mean, what happened was Kleschen and Dax McCarty just completely tore apart the center. They were so much better than what we had to offer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it was Berhalter who was, like, you could hear him on the sideline almost, like, saying to the guy, play in the wings. It's where our advantage is. And it was a while until we did that. It's something that I think that they have to learn to be able to do on the fly.
Now,
well,
if you don't remember, when New York came in early in the season last year, it was a 4-2. Was it
4-1?
4-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they came in and they pressured really up high the entire game. They didn't do that this game. They actually sat back and kind of stayed and let the crew.
Yeah, they let the play come to them.
They had some player last year. They don't have this year. I can't remember who.
David Beckham?
Tim Cahill.
David Beckham, yes.
Yeah, okay. David Beckham. Or Tim Cahill.
I was just shouting, why you fire Petke?
Over. Answer the effing question.
I'm very disappointed that my Sasha is a girl's name chant didn't catch on.
Fair enough. Well, let's talk about Red Bull here in just a second. I want to go to a quick break. We'll come back in a couple minutes here. We're going to talk more about the Crew Red Bull match, and then we'll go from there. This is the Massive Report.
Suplex room.
back. It is segment two of the Massive Report live at Hendox, brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Morgan, you ready for a word from Land Grant Brewing Company?
Yeah, sure. Why the hell not, Matt? Greetings to all the 1491 Ultras out there. Your good pal Morgan Hughes here, reminding this edition of the Master Report Podcast, brought to you as always by Land Grant Brewing Company, located right around the corner in Franklinton. Land Grant Brewing is your number one source for medium-sized glass containers filled to the brim with delicious alcohol that'll quickly lead to you making poor choices, unquestionably resulting in your second yellow card and one match suspension in no time flat. So grab your best friend Federico Higuain and his posse too, and head on down to Land Grant Brewing Company and tell them your friends over at the Massive Report Podcast sent you. Back to you, Matt, you miserable bastard.
Thanks, Morgan. Appreciate it. I do want to. I think we mentioned this on the last show, but Land Grant Brewing also available in the stadium.
Yeah.
There's like two or three different varieties of it available in the stadium. So
I'll tell you what, Matt, I had a beer at the stadium last week from Land Grant Brewing Company, and it was delicious. So back to you now.
Alex, you had a point on the Red Bull game right before we went to break. So take it away, sir.
Yeah, well, Justin had said that he thought that we played a little bit dirty. And my impression from the game was that they weren't necessarily playing dirty. They just seemed really frustrated basically the entire match. The system that Berhalter was trying to play obviously wasn't working, and in the post-match interview or post-match press conference, Berhalter said as much. He said that the system totally didn't work. They didn't do what they were trying to do in training, and that they weren't playing the way that they wanted to. And it seemed to be the case. They seemed to kind of fail at doing the system that Berhalter put in place, and so they kind of each just reverted to like their natural state of as soccer players. And
that's like saying
it seemed like a bunch of individuals out there instead of a unified team, which is the way we're playing.
It's like saying I didn't angrily kill him; I frustratingly murdered him.
Well, no, but I do think it's a different thing, because if you're playing when you're talking about Sporting Kansas City, they have a manager who really kind of pushes the style of play that is kind of kicking and pulling shirts and stuff like that.
Dirty.
Yeah. I don't think that's what Berhalter's trying to get across. Right. I think what happened is you have players who are used to dominating not only possession but chance creation. They're used to getting a lot of time inside the other team's 18-yard box. That was not happening. We were really struggling to create things going forward. We had possession, but it was kind of dead possession. It was useless possession. And I don't think this is something that's going to be a big thing going forward. I think we're just going to see this as kind of an off game. I hope, anyway. But I think that's what we saw from Higuain, too, was that frustration that he was really pissed off, not just at the referee, but at the way the game was going. But even with Higuain, I don't really hate that kind of frustration. I'm glad that we have somebody who cares enough to get pissed off when stuff is not going right, whereas I was actually more upset kind of at the way Parkhurst's body language was, where he was just kind of not pissed off. I like players when they get pissed off.
I get getting pissed off, but I also get not getting pissed off on a yellow card that's going to accumulate to your second yellow card.
Situational
awareness.
There's
a situational awareness in there that's concerning with this specific instance. I'm not saying that every single time that's the case, but with this specific instance, you're already on a yellow, you already know the ref's looking at you, and especially considering who the ref was, you know? Justin.
If I gave the impression that saying that I thought we played dirty, I didn't mean to say that. I thought what I meant to say was that there were little signs that I've seen in that game where it did. It looked like we might be going in a way. The possibility is that we could go in a way into a direction where I was hoping on the off season that we wouldn't, and that, and you know, I think I described that. I hope I did in the first segment.
Like when Ethan Finley pulled out that knife, I just thought that was
a bit of a
question.
But you know, no, like, that was the impression I got from what you said, Justin. Well, like, I didn't think you were saying that we were a dirty team, but there were concerning markers.
Two of those things that could lead to that is, one is what you're saying, the frustration aspect of it. And if we continue to have poor results where we're not scoring goals, where there is that frustration, then that sometimes manifests itself in what you're saying, is like not sticking to a system of playing team soccer. Another aspect of it, though, is putting yourself in situations where where you are liable to play that way. Yeah. And I think that's what happened at the end of the game. Look, I don't think Michael Parkhurst is the kind of guy who's going to go and be really aggressive and show that kind of just unleashed anger in a game. He's just not. I mean, after he made that pass, there was no one who was more disappointed than Michael Parkhurst. You could see him throw his hands onto his head and be just like, oh, you know, because he knew what had happened. He knew what he did. One thing that I really liked Giancarlo Gonzalez. I really did. I thought he was, from the moment that he stepped on the field for us, I thought this is the kind of guy that we needed on that team last year. And when he did, he drew that foul against, what's his face from San Jose?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Wondolowski?
Wondolowski,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, Wanda.
When he drew that foul against him, it was a dive. It was a cheap dive. It was a
And one of the better dives of the season in all of the world.
Yeah. And you could say that's a dirty play, but I would look at that as saying that's knowing the situation. That's knowing how you're gonna do something for your team, and you might get caught, and it might look bad.
Didn't he get a suspension for that?
I think
though?
He did.
Yeah,
but you know he did it against their best player, and he did it for a reason, and it was clever. There's a difference there. There's a difference there between what a player like that does, and when Federico Higuain does what he does.
Yeah. I think the thing that I like about Higuain, and actually the thing that I like about having Higuain and Parkhurst on the same team, I think they bring different styles of leadership, and they're both recognized as leaders on the pitch at the same time. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was interesting to me is right after Higuain got sent off, Grana ran all the way across the pitch to kind of defend him. And from all the way on the right-hand side to the left side of the pitch to kind of argue with the referee, and right after he got sent off, you saw the energy level of the remaining 10 players on the field kind of kick up a notch. And I actually thought that the last 10 minutes or so of that game, when we were at 10, we kind of looked better than the previous 10 when we were at 11.
It's a shame he couldn't run over and defend him before he got in the face of the referee. Look, I love Federico Higuain. He's a very good player. He has 17 yellow cards with the Columbus Cruisers SC. 7 of those are for fouls.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
I agree. But I think that a lot of that comes down to the fact that, first of all, two of those are reds, I think.
Resulting in?
You mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, sure.
So, I mean, if you're taking a yellow card in a game and it's your first yellow, to me it's not an issue as long as you don't get the second. Was today's or yesterday's foul?
Well,
or
unless you're on card accumulation.
Yeah.
And it goes back to situational awareness.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there are certain players on certain teams where you kind of take the good with the bad, and that kind of fire and that kind of intensity and that kind of I'm pissed off that we're not playing well, 99% of the time, it works to your team's benefit, because Pipa's the kind of guy that if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing and the team is having a tough time, he's going to yell at you. And that kind of intensity, that kind of fire, you need at least one guy on your team who will bring that to prevent guys from just kind of slacking off or getting complacent. Did he make a mistake? Absolutely he made a mistake. It was a big mistake. Did it cost us a game? I don't know. Had Schoenfeld's header been a little bit off, we could have tied it 2-2. Had that chip, which 9 times out of 10 is not going to go in, knock on in, it could have finished 1-1. I mean, I think we're kind of Monday morning quarterbacking this thing a little bit. And,
well, that's what
and
we do here.
That's literally what this is.
This is literally what this podcast is.
But, I mean, we're kind of adding together a bunch of one-off situations and making it look like this is a big problem, whereas I think
this is not his first time doing something like this.
It's not, but he doesn't do it every week either.
Well, it's, no, then
but
he
it
would
is
never
something,
play.
But I'm saying it's not indicative, but it could be concerning. That's I think the point we're trying to make here. Justin,
it is something that we've talked about before.
Yeah.
It's something that we talked about in the off season. Like, what were our expectations for this team? You know, I think last year was, you know, like I said, I bring it up all the time. Like I said last year, the results don't matter. It's are you learning to play this new system? Are you figuring things out? I thought the first game against Houston this year, we played very well. Didn't get the result. That's soccer. That's the way sometimes it works.
Yep.
Against Toronto, I thought we played very well, and we beat a team that is supposed to be, you know,
supposed to be world MLS beaters
is,
this year.
It's supposed to be Chief Shitting Bull's gift to MLS.
Super club.
And this time, I thought we played a decent game. I thought we played okay, considering the people that we didn't have available. And I think at the very end of the game, we had a real opportunity to get a result. And because of these little things, we took ourselves out of the game. I think that's a real... That's a warning sign. But it's something that we should learn from.
But even then, I still think if you look at this game, 9 times out of 10, this finishes either 1-1 or 2-2.
Yeah, we got the 10. Yeah.
We did get the 10, but again, that's soccer for me. And for me, this was not a game where, should we have got a win? Yeah. But I'm not surprised that the difference between a loss and a draw for me is kind of a random thing. But that chip, 25-yard chip, is this guy's first MLS goal of all time.
And he curls it into the top corner.
Yeah. He's not going to finish that most of the time.
But taking nothing away from him, it was a hell of a goal.
It was absolutely a hell of a goal. And yeah, we lost. But I guess for me, I'm not seeing the red flags that you guys are seeing. I'm seeing one of those games where you just say, that sucked. We played like shit. Let's move on. Like,
I'm not seeing a red flag. I'm seeing two yellow flags.
Yeah. And look, this is another thing about this kind of circumstance. The next game we play is against Vancouver. Vancouver is a very good team.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We need Federico Higuain in that game.
Sure.
He's not available. Okay. We're going at a disadvantage for that. Is he going to play against New England? We don't know. I would assume so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll put him in.
So, you know, on turf against a team that we need to compete against, I mean, here we are. You're putting yourself in a hole.
But would you have played him against Vancouver even if he didn't have two yellow cards, if he's going to be playing on turf 2 times in 3 days?
Yes, I would have played
him. Yeah,
I would have played him against Vancouver rather than New England.
I think we're going to be.
I would have played him in Vancouver. I wouldn't have played him at the Bouncy Castle in New England.
The turf's better.
Yeah, the turf is better in New England. In Vancouver. I agree.
And also, we get back to that kind of style of play that New England plays. New England is... When they get frustrated, they get dirty too.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be like that. I don't want to put our... Look, I'm not saying you concede a game against a team like that. But I'm saying that, you know, what you do is you play smart. You go play the teams in the environments that you know you can compete better at. And, you know, that's why I would have played him in Vancouver. But another thing, too, you know, the league... You know, you're talking about the goal that was scored against us. That's a quality goal. That's a quality soccer goal.
You don't see many of those in MLS.
No, you don't. But they're becoming more frequent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the competition that we're going to be facing is going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hope that our team is getting to that level.
I agree.
What we do know is that MLS is trying very hard to make other teams play with that kind of good soccer frequently, regularly. And, you know, it might be my bias against MLS, but I don't think they look at the Columbus Crew like that, right?
Yeah.
I think that we have to earn.
Mm-hmm.
We have to build it ourselves. And that means playing smart. That means playing smart, hard, strong, intelligent soccer.
I agree. Well, let's put a pin in the commentary about the Red Bulls match with that, because I think that's a great way to end that. I do want to talk about a few of the other results around the league, and I'm going to let Mr. Morgan Hughes start off on this first one, and then I think everyone should tee off on this. FC Dallas and Seattle over the weekend played to the first game in Major League Soccer history without a shot on goal.
Matt, one of the true black eyes for the league this year in 2015. As it was happening, I could hear the garbering happening from MLS headquarters. What very few strands of hair that devil has left on his head, he was pulling out, and his horns were becoming exposed, Matt. And it was, what are we talking about?
Justin.
You know, I watched the first half of this game, and then I turned it off. It's the first time I've done that this year. It was poor. Very poor soccer. I mean, it was a continuation of the previous weekend.
Yeah.
They thought it was last weekend, and they played like it. It's a shame, because I thought that these two teams were very good. coming into this game. I thought they would be better.
My number one goal for soccer in America is to see what happens to the Seattle market should they not make the playoffs one time.
Yeah. Well, Dallas is and I honestly didn't know because I didn't watch the match, but I didn't know if the game was in Dallas or in Seattle, and I was wondering if Seattle was going to offer refunds and free tickets to everybody if it was in Seattle because they didn't have a shot on goal. Because you remember the one game a couple years ago. Dallas is actually, Dallas right now, if the season ended today, which obviously we know that won't happen, would win the Supporters' Shield. And they managed zero shots on goal to the Seattle Sounders, who, well, I flip it to the other end of the spectrum, and they have 4 points.
Yeah, and the other great thing is that Seattle played with a man advantage for, like, 80 minutes.
Yeah, for 80
game.
Minutes. Yeah,
and
no, it was.
And
it was
the second time in 3 weeks that Seattle has had a man advantage for a good chunk of the game and come away with less than 3 points.
Yeah.
They actually surrendered a couple of weeks ago against San Jose, at home to San Jose, a team that hadn't won since they last beat Seattle last year. Went up a man, San Jose had a guy sent off, and then conceded the winning goal. Is this team really that overrated, or
yes.
What? I think so.
Well, they were missing a lot of players, I'll say that. But still, I mean,
a team with that much depth, or perceived depth, at least, should be able to throw a side out there that can muster a shot on goal.
I think it's hilarious. That's just really me. Is. That's just me. It's hilarious. Alex?
I mean, I think it shows how far the league still has to go to get really kind of attractive, entertaining soccer. It was not a good game.
Not at all, no.
And it's one of those games that, you know, you don't have that many opportunities to have games on television. They only put a couple games on every week, and they picked a really bad one to show. So hopefully they'll pick better teams, I guess. I don't know. It was awful. What do you want me to say?
Pick the same teams.
There's only so much you can say about a game that had zero shots on goal. So.
Yes, but it's fun to bag on Seattle, so we'll continue to do it.
I would also,
Justin,
I would like to point out to you that I'm looking at right now the official website, the official app that I've downloaded onto one of my multiple devices.
Yeah.
The box score for this game says that the attendance for the Dallas-Seattle game was 18,333.
Justin,
what was the attendance for the Columbus Cruisers SC New York Metro Stars game?
I'm going to look that up, but it sounds pretty similar.
No, it's 18,333.
Not exactly the same.
Yeah, it's the exact same number.
It's almost as if they don't care about us.
It's 18,333.
Oh.
Because apparently MLS is now a FIFA 15 creation center where you get a choice of three stadiums, and they all have the same capacity.
Greg, you better not be implying that the league doesn't care about us, because that's, I'll just say that you have a tinfoil hat.
I would
hat.
Never, oh. Morgan. I would never suggest
I'm
such
gonna,
a thing.
You're going to get yelled at by the local media members.
I'm sure
if
I
you
will.
Don't chill out.
I'm sure I will. It's okay. I'm
looking up the New York, the New England
anymore.
Game right now to see what their attendance was.
I checked. There wasn't any other.
Oh, there was. It was just those two. Yeah, that's super weird. That's some sort of algorithm.
I'm curious. The New York City game was significantly more than that. Yeah. However, I think that factors in the New York sales tax.
I do want to say that the Quakes. Yeah, the match at Gillette Stadium had 10,668.
That's some.
Yeah.
Man, that must have looked really good in that 65,000 seat stadium.
They put everybody. Down. Because my girlfriend's watching pro wrestling behind us. It's like a WWE event, and they stack everyone camera side.
They stack everyone camera side, and then empty seats galore on Twitter takes pictures the other direction.
Yeah,
and then tweets them.
I can tell you of the 18,333. People that were at Mauffre Stadium on Saturday. There were a lot of 1492 ultras there.
There were quite a few.
Yeah.
There were a few.
I'm just wondering just how many of us counted as an extra person in that 18,333, because there weren't 18,333.
It was come dressed as an empty seat night, Greg. It's a promotion we do every year. Second home game of the season. Get with the program.
Yeah, Greg, shut your stupid Australian mouth.
We were all guests plus one. Yeah. It's like you're on the guest list, and it's like, here's my plus one, but I didn't bring a plus one, but we'll count that in the
red card to Greg Benson for not knowing how to count.
And also red card for that accent.
For having a knife that he thinks is a knife, and it's clearly not a knife.
Speaking of Greg Benson going off and talking about things, we'll do that in just a second. We're going to come back.
Ooh, teaser.
Yeah, Greg's going to talk.
I am going to talk.
And only half of the audience will understand him. This is the Massive Report. I don't care. I've got a secret trick up my sleeve. I never bother with baggies, glass jars, Tupperware containers, plastic cling wrap, really a no-brainer. I just like to keep all my flavors sealed and tight with aluminum foil. Never settle for less. That kind of wrap is just the best to keep your sandwich nice and fresh. Stick it in your cooler. Eat it when you're ready. Then maybe you'll choose. A refreshing herbal tea.
Welcome to Cards Against Insanity, the Oh No, We Suck Again edition. Also, the MLS refereeing is what we thought it was and what it always has been edition. Also, the Can We Please Stop Chanting Come On Crew, Let's Score a Goal in the 10th minute of the damn game edition. You get the point. Remember, if you've got something you want to bring to my attention, use the hashtag MRCards. Opinions are mine and don't necessarily reflect those of the Massive Report or Columbus Crew SC, especially the one where they said yesterday's MLS games were worth watching. Yellow card to Wichita East High School in Kansas, who made a special needs student take off his letter jacket because he hadn't earned it, since he's not actually on the school basketball team. Michael Kelly, who is autistic and has Down syndrome, was told by the school to take off the jacket his parents had bought for him after another parent complained. I'm not normally one to have my heartstrings tugged by sentimental gestures, but what I strongly dislike is when sports, particularly school sports, take precedence over human decency. The parent who complained and the school officials who followed through on the complaint, you suck as people. The only reason I hope you don't lose every game for the next 10 years is because this kid apparently likes your team a lot. And thanks to you, he's suffered enough already. Yellow card to Twitter user PlayNami28, goes only by the display name New York C. Defending the honor of his beloved NYCFC after they managed an announced crowd of 27,454 at Saturday's home loss to Sporting KC, a negligible 37% drop from their home opener a few weeks ago, Plainami attacked a fan of the New York Rangers saying, quote, better attendance than the Rangers and the NHL, end quote. Two problems with this. First, the Rangers play at Madison Square Garden, which has a capacity for hockey one-third that of Yankee Stadium in soccer configuration. Second, Rangers played two games at Yankee Stadium last year. Got 50,000 to both of them. Pick your battles. Speaking of Twitter, yellow card to the Wellington Phoenix. Late in Sunday's game against Sydney FC, trailing 3-0, the Knicks tweeted, quote, 75th minute, 25 minutes plus stoppages to get 3 goals, end quote. Think about that for a second. 75th minute, 25 minutes. Yeah, we in Australia get on New Zealanders sometimes for not being that bright. They're like racist jokes, but they only refer to nationality, so they're less culturally offensive. At least that's my experience of the logic around here from a year and a half on Massive Report. I'm just playing, America. You know I love you. But because fair is fair, from the same match, yellow card to Sydney FC midfielder Ryan Grant. Getting ready to come on as a substitute late in the game, he gets 1 foot on the pitch and suddenly realizes he's not wearing a shirt. Well, he was, but it was his training shirt, which didn't have his number on it. Fortunately, no duct tape required, as I had to do to slap together a number or several in youth soccer in my day. His jersey was on hand, and the sub was only delayed by a minute or so. But since everyone in Australia and New Zealand was watching the Cricket World Cup final anyway, nobody noticed. In case you missed it the first time, Sydney won 3-0. Sorry, Morgan and Duncan, and sorry about the World Cup, too.
Hate you.
Speaking of the World Cup, yellow card to Karl Stefanovic, the host of the Australian edition of the Today Show prior to Australia's World Cup semi-final against India. Stefanovic interviewed a large group of Indian fans at the stadium and asked them on live TV, quote, who's going to be manning 7-Elevens today? Oh. End quote. Live network Australian TV. To his credit, the Indian fan charged with answering the question responded by suggesting that Stefanovic should consider settling as he might be looking for a new job too. Sadly, not only does Stefanovic still have a job, he got to interview New Zealand Prime Minister John Key this morning, saying, oh, I didn't see the result of the final. Who won? Australia's ahead of the US on several fronts. Racism and cheap shots, not among them. Yellow card to the Southern League Premier Division in England, who gave Poole Town FC manager Tom Killick a six-match stadium ban for cursing at an official, but didn't think it through. Killick managed to get around the ban, not by watching on TV, because this is non-league football we're talking about here, but by watching from the attic of a house next door to the stadium. A photographer captured Killick leaning out of the attic window, looking down on his team as they beat Cambridge City 3-2. Killick says he knows he has to, quote, clean up his act, end quote, but hiding in the attic was a genius move, and it's the league's fault that they did not see him up there. Attic, not see him up there. It's an oldie but a goodie.
You'll get it.
Hey, up, thank you. Quick one. Yellow card to everyone who watched WrestleMania last night and yet beat up on soccer fans because they don't watch a real sport. I'm afraid I've got bad news for you. It's a wrestling thing. They'll get it. By the way, I'm not knocking WrestleMania. As you know, if you follow me on Twitter, yes, I watched it. I know it's scripted. So is any TV show that refers to itself as episodic. If you watch The Walking Dead, there's no difference. Well, the blood's fake in The Walking Dead, but I can't think of anything else. And finally, this is unfortunate, but it is what it is. Red card to anyone who thinks the Indianapolis-based NCAA is going to pull the college basketball Final Four out of the state of Indiana in the wake of Governor Mike Pence signing the state's ridiculous, barbaric, and hateful religious freedom law that allows businesses to discriminate, slash refuse service, slash be an asshole in general based on their own prejudices and then use their religious beliefs as justification. First, the NCAA isn't pulling the Final Four. Not now. It's next week. Not when ticket money has already changed hands, people have already made travel plans, and the court's already been laid down. Even discounting all of these things, the NCAA is a horrible, backward-ass organization, and it's no surprise that they're based in a state with a horrible, backward-ass governor who passed a horrible, backward-ass law. The other thing to bear in mind is that most Indianans, probably most business owners among them, tend to be good people. And this law... Well, Matt, you're questionable. And this law has received more criticism even in Indiana than support. Yes, they get the officials they elect, but to punish the entire state for the unpopular actions of a few jackasses is the same kind of broad-brush discrimination we're criticizing Governor Pence for allowing. You're not going to see me boycott Indiana anytime soon because I know who my friends are, and it's easy to find some yourself. If you're traveling to Indy for the Final Four, it's very easy to work out who's good and who's not. Walk in and ask them if they serve everyone. If they say anything but yes, absolutely, walk out without a word, and then repeat the process until you find someone worthy of your business. Problem solved. Although if you're giving money to the NCAA, your standards are questionable to begin with. That's another conversation for another time. My name is Greg Benson. You can find me on Twitter as GregGulator614. Facebook is That One Guy Greg. And if you're at Hendox Pub, you're in my seat. A reminder, once again, use the hashtag MRCards if you've got a suggestion for something I should be including on next week's show. In the meantime, play on, but remember, I'm watching you.
And we're back. It is the Massive Report, brought to you by Morgan Hugh.
Brought to you by me?
Yes.
Yes, I brought this whole thing. No, Land Grant Brewing Company, Matt, you stupid idiot. They're the same people that have been giving us money this entire season. And my goodness, do they make delicious alcohol. Back to you, Matt.
Thank you, Morgan. Appreciate that. Also, Sam, we're supposed to plug its name your...
It's fan player ratings.
Fan player ratings on MassiveReport.com. Yes, I remembered something about fans and voting against tomorrow.
Ratings end tomorrow.
It's like Hot or Not, except with soccer.
Yeah. Oh. Who remembers Hot or Not? Wow, Morgan. That's
assuming everybody does.
I have no idea what that is.
That was a Web 2.0 thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow.
Get on Lycos and search for it. You'll find it.
Good times. All right, so...
Is that a web crawler?
Yes, you can ask Jeeves.
So, I do want to bring this up because it's an off week for us. We don't really have matches to preview because we don't have another match until after our next episode. But I do want to bring this up. There was a delightfully boohoo article written by friends of the show.
No,
the main the mainland, is that what they're called? Is that it, Sam?
Except MANE because they're Lions, and that's funny.
Yeah. Okay, SB Network Partners. Can we say that? SB Nation Partners. SB Nation Network Partners. The mainland.
In the same way that the crew's opponents are all friends of the crew, in that they're all part of the MLS network.
Yeah, fair enough. So Greg.
Basically, we hate them.
Unfair play. I don't know anyone from there, so I don't.
Well, I hate them.
Well, okay, good for you. Good for
this
you,
debate
Alex.
Of semantics is brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company.
Alex, this is why you should eat meat. Maybe you'd be a little less upset as
everyone. That's a good point, man. Yeah. I'll think about that.
Yeah, true story. Unfair playing field, Orlando City's uphill battle. And then the writer, who we'll just say is at OC Lions because I don't remember his name, goes on to dissect every single Orlando City match so far this year and blame everything on the officials.
Not just every match, but not every match, but every call that he or she has identified as being poo-poo bad.
Poo-poo bad.
Yeah. But what he doesn't do is, you know, even think about maybe the calls that went in the favor that were also poo-poo bad.
Poo-poo bad. But I wanted to get Justin's thoughts on this to start out with.
Here we go.
I don't expect anything else from the Seattle of the Southeast.
the ultimate insult.
I mean, seriously,
Hold on. I've got it here somewhere. There it is.
Is this just purple Seattle? Is that what we're dealing with
yeah,
here?
You know, I wanted to ask Anthony Precourt something when he was here. Because there was a rumor that Phil Rollins made a derogatory comment about Columbus when he was talking about what he wanted Orlando to be like.
Uh-huh.
And Anthony Precourt, I don't know if he heard this comment or not. I think he did. And what I've heard is that he did not like it when it was said, in which he said that he wanted Orlando to be more like Seattle, not like Columbus. now, I can't confirm that.
Yeah.
I'll just say that I've heard that.
You're just asking questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
this is a bad person. And he has, you know, he's the leader of now, you know, the Capo Cam. I thought was a great thing that we saw during that game. This is what happens when you just lavish attention on people. Mm-hmm. They get like this.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing how complete is the delusion that beauty equals goodness.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Was that Nietzsche?
That's from the internet, Matt. It's from the internet.
But I seriously, like, where does this blog get off?
Well, okay, so but if you read the second paragraph or third paragraph, he will explain to you that listen, he grew up in England, okay?
Oh yes. Oh crap, never mind guys, sorry.
So
grew up in England, you're
I
not
spend
to...
every summer in England learning here's, from the greatest capos.
Let me unpack that just a little bit. He specifies that he grew up in Newcastle.
In Newcastle, yes.
Which by the way is a team that I guess you could call them long-suffering. They were close to a Premier League title. They haven't won it. They were close to an FA Cup. They didn't win it. They got relegated. They came back. A team with a, oh, my God, look at how suffering we are. Look at how badly we have it. A guy who grows up as a Newcastle fan. I can totally see where this comes from.
But Newcastle's like barely England as well. Newcastle's like Baja Glasgow. I mean, seriously,
Scotland doesn't want them.
It's like calling Vermont like part of the United States and not like just Montreal South.
Hey Matt,
you know
Vermont is part of the United States. Just FYI,
it actually is.
I don't.
It's the capital of the United States, as a matter of fact. I'll look that up. I'll get back to you. On that.
Yeah, I still think they're part of Maine.
But I can see where the woe is me complex comes from. From being a fan of that particular club.
Yeah.
And from being from that particular city.
And, like, the first comment is, listen, I spent some time in Spain and Brazil. Okay, so I'm pretty sure I know a lot about soccer.
I've
and this
a
is
lot of
bullshit.
Football in my life. I'm sorry. When you come over to this country, you call it soccer.
Could I read?
I want you to.
I mean, this is kind of crazy. I mean, like, I just, you know, got done kind of railing on Soren Stojka earlier on the show. I mean, these are the kind of referees that we get, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's just the way that the league is. So one of the paragraphs is, and I quote, "No Lions fan is going to quickly forget Alan Kelly's name. He's the unqualified pleb.
Plebeian.
Yeah. Who was inexplicably assigned our inaugural match in order to see if he could, quote, play ref, unquote." And then he goes on to talk about how this unqualified pleb ruined their inaugural match.
And they went to all the trouble of filling the bowl.
Yeah, this article fills the bowl all right.
And then it goes on to say,
Sam, that was awesome. You did that really quickly.
That was rare timing.
That broadcast school has really paid off.
Go ahead, Justin.
It went on to say, "The simulation calls received a lot of discussion after the match and painted our players in a bad light with comments like, quote, 'Is Orlando just a bunch of divers?' unquote." I was one of those people who was saying, yes, absolutely, they are.
I watched the damn soccer
100%
match.
A bunch of divers.
Speaking as a complete neutral, neutral in that I wanted both teams to lose that game. Absolutely.
I know is I turned it off because the match was ruined for me.
Ruined.
I got to watch that match. It was a very, very weird experience. It was a sports bar, a Buffalo Wild Wings kind of place, but it wasn't one of them. It was in Houston, but it was like kids' day down there. So I felt like I was watching this game at a Chuck E. Cheese.
You watched it at Chuck E. Cheese, didn't you?
It only felt like one. I promise you we did not go to a Chuck E.
Cheese.
Greg,
you know, according to Megan's Law, you have to inform people when you're going to a Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't know. I disagree with all of you guys. I thought it was a shameful performance by the referee, and I was left with no choice but to go and find the nearest New York City FC fan and assault them violently and repeatedly, and then
how
do
long
that.
Did
and
it
then
take you to find the nearest New York City
It was pretty FC. Quick. I just found the nearest person and just assumed and beat them up in typical New York City FC fashion or
the
Orlando
first
City FC
wearing powder blue.
Yeah, I just
you just beat the hell out of them.
I had to. I'm an Iron Line firm member, so I had to. Violently assault people and take my anger out on innocent bystanders.
Yeah,
like I do every game.
No, blue. It was a bad day to be a Sydney.
Is this not what MLS 3.0 is all about, though?
Oh God, yeah. No, it's self entitlement.
Yeah,
yes.
But
when you coddle someone whether it's a someone or a collection of someones with a Z, so it's more intense.
Can we just start all of the
when you do that, they believe that they're the center of the universe, and now all of these MLS 2.0 3.0 teams are going, well, you can't have other centers of the universe. That's not how the universe works.
Don Garber gets a sexier prom date.
Jesus.
This is what these people need to know. A, Don Garber gets a sexier prom date every single year. That is a true statement. Yeah. That is something that happens every single year. Number two, we should just start giving all their goddamn supporters groups participation trophies every single year. Just like, you showed up, you had fun, good job, guys! And then half of this is just taken care of.
Yeah. I'd like to make note, though, that there was no mention in this entire article. They talk about the Vancouver game, about how this one hurts. They said,
"Yeah, there was no mention of actual hurting.
Yeah,
probably,
the actual
it's
like
probably
violence.
More for the
actual violence
who were actually assaulted.
I mean, I know it was what we coined the Farby Darby.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Still,
the Farby Darby.
But I want to. This other paragraph is really great, and this is where he completely changed my mind because I hope you'll see why. These incidents aren't individually enough for us to be paranoid about how we are being treated as the NKOTB. However."
Oh, God. I need a
shot.
Give me a shot right now. I'm not drunk enough to have this
NKOTB, by the way, the only boy band not from Orlando.
Oh my god.
I am switching the outro music right now.
Just start up. Yeah, just let's stop.
However,
you've done it, Justin.
And I continue. However, viewed in the quote, totality of the circumstances, unquote, parenthetical, busting out some legal jargon, end parenthetical, there is enough here to warrant a legitimate discussion about why we are getting short shrift.
There's nothing there.
I, for one, am convinced. This article has the right stuff. I'm good.
I think step by step, Orlando are getting better.
I'm going to log in. I'm so angry. I'm going to log into the official Orlando City Twitter page and send like 4 or 5 really sexist tweets and just yep. really angry.
I'm also thinking that at the end of the day, to calm all of their supporters down, they should all get popsicles.
While we're talking about how awful MLS 3.0 is, can I read a couple rules for the membership application for Hearts of Oak, which is a very, very historically relevant NYCFC supporters group.
Yes, please do, Morgan.
Number one.
And we'll wrap this up.
Every incoming member will need to be sponsored by an active current member of Hearts of Oak. Number two.
Last season.
Every incoming member will also have to provide 3 references, none of which can be the sponsoring member.
Better get my resume ready.
Number 3. In addition, we will have you fill out a short questionnaire with 2 important questions. I can't find it, but there's one of them that it's like 5 or 6 or 7 that says you can belong to no other supporters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is MLS 2.0.
The 2 questions that they ask you are, who is your daddy and what does he do?
I would like to say that over the last 523 years, the 1492 Ultras have never had rules like that.
That's true.
Never,
that's
ever.
Totally true.
Ever.
Yeah. No.
Or medicine.
Yeah.
No, man.
We don't need it. We don't need it.
Penicillin?
No scurvy, no party.
Penicillin is for pussies and poor people.
We recommend you don't get any open wounds because that could lead to instant death just from the lack of medicine.
All right,
so.
We're going to go to break here.
Orlando was founded by Ponce de Leon, by the way.
Yeah, well, Ponce de Leon,
terrible city.
Was a giant pussy. All
Orlando is full of rental cars and criminals.
It really is. It really is. It's an awful, horrible place.
All right, we're going to come back, and Bruce McGuire from New Nord.
New Nord.
He's going to join us.
It's up to you, New Nord.
Coming up next. Hang tough with us, guys. NKOTB. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It is the Massive Report. Welcome, everybody, back into it. Brought to you by Morgan. You want to do the honors?
I'm sorry, Matt. Can you say that again? I wasn't listening to you because you're just awful.
Brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Thank you very much to them for sponsoring the show. On right now with Bruce McGuire from Due Nord. How's it going, man?
Very well. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, man. So first of all, congratulations to Minneapolis for being picked as the 23rd Major League Soccer, soccer.com city. So that's, first of all, just, I mean, obviously, I'm assuming you're excited about that, but kind of give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't want to go too overboard because it's a several years away from now. And the other thing is, our team is in its 25th year, so it's not like this is a brand new team that we've never seen before and cool things haven't happened to. I mean, the team's been in the final six times and won it twice, and they've been in the semifinals of the Open Cup and things like that. So it's not as if this isn't Orlando or Atlanta where it's all really new kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, you're not Miami. You know, it's
exactly.
There's obviously, you know, Minnesota United certainly has the history there, and I think it's almost, I mean to me, just as an outsider looking in, having that history maybe recognized and having that history maybe a little bit not that you need, I guess vindication's not the right word, but not that you need celebrated, I guess would be that, and having that kind of brought into the major league fold. Certainly has to be at least interesting.
You're not wrong there. It creates a different energy than being in the league that you were in, because it's perceived as a higher league and there's better teams to play against. There's more of them that have better talent, and so in all those ways, it just creates a whole new energy that's never been here before, and that's the cool part.
Yeah, I think that's certainly, you know, when we were talking about it. I'm excited about it because it's another team in the Midwest, and it's another kind of good regional pairing with Columbus. We've always had kind of this glut of teams to the east of us, and then, you know, Chicago, and then Kansas City, and then the hinterland after that. So it's kind of bringing more into the Midwest, and especially, you know, that northern section of the country that's really been very underserved on the MLS level. Obviously, there are other teams and things along those lines, but on the MLS level, there really wasn't anyone except for really Chicago, and once you get a little bit further in, maybe Denver. So I think that's certainly interesting as well.
Well, I mean, for us, a big thing is we've been isolated for quite a long time. There's been times when Milwaukee has had teams, and those have been borderline ferocious rivalries.
Oh, yeah.
Where things, I mean, nasty. And to finally have a bunch of teams again that are closer to us. Like right now, our closest rival is Indianapolis, and it's 10 hours away.
Yeah. Well, that's
to have Kansas City, it's 6. Chicago is 6. Mm-hmm. You know, this is going to be great.
This seems, from my perspective at least, it seems to have kind of come out pretty suddenly. Is that your opinion as well, or was this kind of in the works behind the scenes for a long time?
It's kind of both, in that the owners of Minnesota United had no intention of moving their team to MLS. That was not their goal at all. They believed in North American Soccer League. They liked the fact there were almost no rules on how to run your team or how much you could spend or any of that stuff, and they liked that. But MLS started to get interested in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and the first people they talked to were the Minnesota Vikings, who, obviously being an NFL owner, have ridiculous amounts of money and a lot of influence, and they were in the process of putting together a brand new stadium, which, of course, we know is very alluring to MLS and their owners. And once that started to happen, I think the owners of Minnesota United realized, if they get an MLS team, we're sunk. Because this city's not going to support two teams. And that's when I think they did their research, and at first they were still resistant, and eventually they came around and said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And they did it all behind the scenes. They weren't a lot of these other people. Like right now you see Sacramento, and they're loud and proud.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've been kicking up dust since the first second they decided to even form a team. Where Minnesota United has gone the other direction. They do it all off the record. They do it all behind closed doors. They get everything in a row, and then they step up and announce it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's more, you know, kind of makes more sense more than the kind of shackle raising. I know, Morgan, you've got something? Sorry.
Yeah, so... When Minnesota makes its way to MLS, I mean, it's kind of confusing at times for some of us that have, you know, been strictly MLS teams since 1996. Now, like when you say, "Hey, Minnesota United FC," do you trace that back? And I guess in your brain, does it go back to the Thunder, or does it, you know? Does it go back to NSC Minnesota, or where does it kind of start for you, the franchise, even, you know, once it starts playing MLS? Like, do you still consider it that original team in 90?
Yeah, it's been the same team, but through different ownerships and different business transactions and different weird finagling and stuff like that, the name has gotten changed. I mean, we've all seen that in minor league sports all over the country. It doesn't matter what the sport is. It goes through different iterations, but there was always carryover of players from one name to the next.
Well, we
so we feel like the team has been here since 90.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've even got, you know, talking about the name changes. I mean, that even happens in MLS. Look at the San Jose Clash or the Dallas Burn. Yeah, so that's happened as well. You know,
yeah. You mentioned being NASL guys before this, and talking about the level of control and the level of autonomy you had over how the day to day running of the club and how you guys compete. Are you worried that some of that control is being relinquished moving into the single entity system that is MLS?
I don't run the team, so I don't know or care.
Right, no.
I mean, honest to God, all I care about is winning.
Right, seriously. Obviously, yeah.
I mean, and this team has always been a winner. We've had some bad years, don't get me wrong, but 2-3 years later, we're right there at the very top again, and we are kicking some butts, and right now this team is on a serious roll.
But as somebody who follows the team and somebody who obviously, you know, podcasts about the team and writes about the team and things along those lines, surely you've seen some of the interesting things that MLS has done, especially in regards to New York City FC and some of their other. Obviously, Minnesota is going to come in a unique position because they're going to be an expansion team and they're definitely going to be forefront. But the whole, even with Dempsey signing and some of those other signings, where the rules seem to change depending on who your franchise is, that isn't necessarily that way in NASL from what I've in my periphery following of NASL. So is that something that might be concerning going forward?
I suppose, but I expect these owners to be those owners who demand the most and get it. I don't expect them to kowtow to anybody. If there's a UFC available that level of player at that time, I expect them to go for it. I don't expect them to hesitate at all to try and bring in the right. I mean, this was a joke over the last couple of days. Cristiano Ronaldo said in 2018, when his contract is up, he would like to come to Major League Soccer. And I'm not kidding you that our owner will go try and get him.
Wow.
Do you think MLS will let it happen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, when you're on the inside like that, none of us know how any of that stuff works. But yeah. he's not going to be a small-time player like Dan Hunt in Dallas who says, boy, that's out of my price range.
Yeah.
These guys don't have that price range. It's four billionaires who own the team.
Well, cool. if you're trying to make friends, you'll make a lot of them in Columbus by saying bad things about Dan Hunt. Clark Hunt.
We do.
And that's why I brought up that example, because I know that you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Talking about investment, there's been talk of a soccer-specific stadium downtown, and I would assume that because they've already gone ahead and finalized things with the team, or at least are planning on finalizing things, that the stadium is pretty close to being a done deal as well. Can you shed any light on that?
That's been the closest held secret of the whole thing. All along, as they were going through the bidding process and, you know, I was kept, you know, pretty abreast of everything that was going on. I saw a lot of plans. I heard a lot of topics discussed, and, you know, they were great at reaching out to some of the fans and some of the people and asking serious questions. But this is a whole different thing. This is purchasing land in a downtown area.
Yeah.
So that's you know, you got to get 20 business leaders together to pull that off. Mm-hmm. And then it's you got to deal with the city, and you got to deal with the state, and you got to deal with the county. And there's so many plans. There's so many moving parts going on. But I know that they have to be a long way down the road, or they wouldn't be at this point right now.
So their discussion, from what you know at this point, is to definitely put the stadium somewhere in a downtown location.
Yeah, they had the press conference at the Minnesota Twins Stadium the other mm-hmm. day, and the two brothers who own the Twins are partners in this club.
Oh, good.
Minnesota United. And so where they had the backdrop, you could look out these giant windows, and there was a block there of some things going on, and the block right behind that you could see clearly, that's where the stadium is going.
Okay, cool. Cool.
What we, because one of the other things I do besides all these years of DuNord, in the last month, I got together with six or seven other bloggers locally, and we launched a brand new site called Northern Pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been pretty much the ones breaking every single story over the last month. And then the major media picks up on it, and they run with it. But we've seen the documents and everything of the piece of land that they did not buy, but they have the option to buy.
Uh-huh.
And so it's all sitting there just waiting for the city and the state and the county to all come together and really draw out this plan. The most interesting thing about the piece of land, though, is that it sits right next to a huge farmer's market that they want to double in size. And it's also the proposed site of a light rail stop that's going to go south and north from that part, because the Twin Stadium right behind it is the main hub for light rail in the city. Mm. And there's three lines come in right there, and they have plans to do two more, which the first stop would be at the soccer stadium.
Oh, wow. So it would be really kind of tied into the city's public transit system?
Everything. And basically hovering right over behind it is going to be one of the like a flyover for one of the major freeways. We have two interstates that come through here, one east-west, one north-south. And it's the east-west one. It flies right over the stadium. And then Minneapolis is consumed with bicycles. And one of the major north-south bicycle freeways is literally right there next to the stadium.
Cool.
So it's pretty. It's an amazing piece of property.
So what's the weather like in Minneapolis this weekend?
No, 45 or 50 and gray, maybe a little drizzle.
What's it going to be like? What do you see the schedule being like for a team playing in MLS going forward? Because like right now, NASL doesn't start until right about now, right? The season's
yeah, this
up.
Coming weekend.
Yeah,
yeah.
So. If MLS keeps moving the schedule up like it has been, how do you see that affecting Minnesota United?
Yeah, you know, I kind of see it as we're the United States back in 2003 or whatever it was, or 2001, and everyone else is Mexico showing up to play in February.
Home field advantage.
So you're saying every match until June is going to be Columbus Crew Stadium in January.
It could be, man. It could be. The weather here is insane, so it's nice right now, but that doesn't mean it's not going to switch tomorrow.
What do you think? I mean, and that's a really interesting question, because you have a lot of these northern teams, you know, especially when you look at, I mean, Toronto never plays at home until, you know, mid-April, obviously, this year, kind of a weird fluke with that. And they always play during the day, even if they do play an earlier game. And then Montreal takes to the dome until the groundhog pops out and sees his shadow. With Minnesota, do you see Minnesota playing home games in March? And then is there kind of a concern about, you know, if Minnesota were to host playoff games?
And you also see the Revs only play a couple of home games in the first 2 months of the season, too. They're another one.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly don't know. Here's how the NASL schedule got put together this, and I think this is a perfect example. There's 11 teams in the league, so every week one team gets a bye. Minnesota has the bye the first week.
Mm-hmm.
The second and third weeks are on the road.
Yeah.
The first home game is April 25th.
Okay.
Now, the other thought that's run through some people's minds is, why can't they down the road do a deal with the Vikings and play some of the games in their new dome stadium?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings are actively trying to destroy Minnesota United right now. And the animosity from them is nasty. But, you know, there's a lot of government people that put a lot of money into that new stadium. And I think that there are some heads can be turned the other direction. And you might see that. But I would love nothing better than a final here on the first weekend of December. That would be incredible.
Well, I'd love a final here on the first weekend of December. Well, yeah, yeah. I'd love a final
yeah,
here
right,
in,
right. yeah.
in July. I'd take that. I mean, if we just had a weird schedule. But,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I get where you're coming from, though.
I went to the game in Kansas City 2 years ago when they hosted, and it was about 20 degrees out. And believe me, it didn't keep anybody from being at that stadium. It was crazy. And the same thing would happen here. People, they will have no problems going to that game.
So part of the rationale for why we hear that teams get expansion into their city is based on fan culture, fan support. We saw it in Orlando. We saw it in Philadelphia. And everything we've heard is that there's a lot of fan support in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. Can you describe that, what that's like, and how much do you think that it affected this decision?
It's always been a really good thing. For a long time, we avoided it. We had a pretty big crew of people that would go to U.S. games all over the country, and so we got to know an awful lot of people. I mean, we've been to many games in Columbus over the years, and we've gotten to meet people all over the country. And in some ways, we avoided having a name or having any kind of iconography or having any kind of organization. And then sometime about 10 years ago, there was just kind of a sea change with a few people, and they got together and decided, you know what, let's try and start something, but let's not go crazy. Let's just find our friends and unify and find a place in the stadium and just enjoy the game more and things like that. Yeah. And it's just been this slow burn of each year a few more people show up, the next year a few more, the next year a few more, and there was never anything formal, never anything going on. We did come up with a name 10 years ago, but no one made it official. There was no websites or anything. And the name was a spoof. It was a joke on the fake hardcore supporters groups, the people that are hard and tough and mean and ugly. Because in the United States, if those people went to Rome to a game and took on Lazio, they'd get killed. They would just get crushed into the ground.
Yeah.
And so we decided to kind of spoof on that a little bit because everyone was cool. Everyone was great. Everyone was kind of a, I don't know exactly how to describe it, because no one's political. No one's got anything. No agendas like that. So we jokingly, the team was called the Thunder, and we jokingly said, you can't have thunder without dark clouds. And we said, that's the name. It's Dark Clouds, because that's got all these hilariously stupid negative connotations. It's cartoonish. It's buffoonish. And we're like, that's what we're going to run with. We're going to be like, you know, fake ultras.
Yeah.
And the name stuck, and no one intended it to, but it just did. And it's still that to this day. And 3 years ago, as the number of younger people and new people came in and got involved, it's now fully organized. It's, you know, it's got the bank accounts. It's got the nonprofit status. It's got, you know, membership cards. It's got, you know, tons of deals you get for being a member. It's, you know,
yeah,
just like everywhere else. They create their own merch. They do everything.
If you guys,
and it's become a big deal. It's not big numbers yet. It's probably only 300 or 400, but
if you guys figure out a way to get the young guys to come in later to take over the supporters groups, if you could send us a letter and let us know how to do that, that would be fantastic.
You have to find the same ones.
Exactly.
You have to find people that think like you do that are just a different age of you.
That's fair.
I mean, that's really the key, because all of us who started are still part of their – we're their mentors. We're their – you know, when they're having something rough going on, they call us.
Yeah.
And we help them figure it out. Not that we've necessarily been there, but we've just been around the block a few times and we've seen a few things, and we're like the elders, maybe.
That's fair enough. Well, thank you so much, Bruce McGuire, for coming on. Check out the website. It's northernpitch.com and also the Do Nord Football Show. I know you've got to run and do that show here in a few minutes. So
I do. Thank you.
Yeah, and we appreciate you coming on, man. Please come back anytime. And welcome to Major League Soccer from Columbus. And we look forward to traveling up there in a few years.
It'll be a lot of fun. Thank you for having me on. I've had a great time talking to you guys.
Thanks. Take care, man. All right, so a couple more things before we wrap this show up tonight. First of all, if you want to do your player ratings for any of the Columbus Crew SC players, MassiveReport.com has your information. So now we have no match to preview for next week. It's the bye week. So a couple things. We're going to do a lightning round here. I'm going to go to each individual panelist and ask them one question, and they have to respond. No matter what the question is. Justin, I'm going to you first. How many complaints on Twitter, over and under, you can give me an over-under here, from Orlando City supporters about officiating?
Tonight?
No, next weekend. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
They're at home to DC United.
How about two?
Two?
Two. I think they go low this week.
It's going to be over.
Yeah, it'll be more than that.
It'll be definitely
I don't know.
That. All right,
screw those people. I don't care.
Morgan.
Hi, Matt.
How many shots on goal does Seattle get this weekend?
My prediction, Matt, is that bandits will attack Queen Elizabeth. To save her life, she will have to call in the knights sworn to defend her, Elton John, Mick Jagger, and Paul McCartney. Zero shots on goal.
Greg, how many people in America will care about anything that happened at the Cricket World Cup in the next 7 days?
None. And I will say that because the Cricket World Cup was already over.
I know.
They just played the final.
I know. That's what I'm saying. How many people would care about
the
result?
How many people care about the result?
The result.
The
yes.
result.
Yes.
That I know of?
Yes.
People in America? Three.
Yeah. Three.
Three. And I'm
three.
One of them.
A solid three.
A solid
Alex,
three.
Yeah.
When is chicken going to be declared a vegetable?
Never, Matt. It's a meat.
It's not. You and your vegetarian he propaganda.
He can't eat chicken.
It's a vegetable.
He can't eat chicken.
I can.
It's a vegetarian
I just choose
fowl.
Not to. I would
just
like
he,
to. I would like
has
to point
the ability
out.
Ability to. Yeah. No, he just
I have
chooses
teeth,
not to. Yeah.
Greg.
Yes, Steve.
I'd like to point out that tomorrow there are two United States men's national team games going on.
That's true.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that no, for a second?
That's not a prediction, Justin.
No. I think we'll win one of them. Maybe
no.
both of them.
Give us the breakdown on those, Justin, because some of us didn't do show prep.
I have a little bit of prediction about the national team game tomorrow, Matt, if you might indulge me.
I won't, but go ahead.
My prediction for the national team game tomorrow is that Connor Casey will lose 200 pounds after he misplaces his 200-pound bag of bacon. Back to you, Justin.
That's because he's fat, pretty guys.
Good. Connor Casey
That's the joke.
Is fat and old.
Does anybody have anything else?
For what it's worth, on international results today, Canada just beat Puerto Rico 3-0. And to my surprise, one of those is actually in America.
And one of those is actually a country as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Puerto Rico.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I have several Puerto Rican and Canadian friends, and they all hate me equally right now.
Yeah, no, true together. Story. And it has nothing to do with what you just said. It has everything to do with the content of your character, Greg.
Well,
so we're going to wrap this up because we've been going about at this for a while. You got one more thing
no,
to
No, I was
going to
say
before.
Tomorrow, 12 o'clock,
yeah.
U.S. men versus Switzerland.
Nice.
A little bit after that, U.S. men's U-23 versus Denmark.
I have one more prediction, Matt, if you might indulge me.
Watch those games.
My prediction is that the Seattle Sounders will launch a worldwide tour of over 200 cities, not to play soccer, necessarily, but to apologize for last week's game against FC Dallas. Back to you,
in
Matt.
In the year 2000.
You're goddamn right.
All right. Let's wrap this thing up.
Very
Josie Altidore will score two goals tomorrow.
for everyone on the show, for Sam hitting the buttons, Morgan, Justin, Greg, Alex, Willie, who randomly came in here and started yelling things about fishing during the break. That was pretty fantastic.
Tim Riemel started center back.
My name is Matt Gosher. This has been the Massive Report. I've eaten the plums that were in the icebox. I don't even like plums. They're gross. But you not having them makes me happy. I'm not well.
Good night, everybody.